and indeed he is risen. Happy Resurrection Sunday from Scandy Bible Church 2015. And we want to welcome you to our sunrise service this morning as our church gathers in its tradition for this special time at the lovely waterside home of Elder Keith Barker. Music this morning being provided by our church family. And our sunrise service message once again being delivered by Mr. Louis Bond, a member of our church body. He's a leader, coach, father to many, and a brother in Christ.
Good morning. Well, he has risen. It's amazing that to think that all over the world, for many hours already, and now for us, that there are believers all over the place celebrating this joyous truth right now, and are living it, and are only able to live it because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. I've been given a lot of thought about what to say, what to bring, and so I just kept praying, Lord, what is it, this year? And it was funny because my paper kept getting longer and longer, and my notes kept getting longer and longer, and I kept finding more and more, and Wendy said, you got to narrow it down, and that was only two nights ago. What's challenging is that we have so much rich material, right? The Lord's given us his word. He's entrusted us with it. He's given us this as his own testimony that we might have salvation through him by his word. In John 19:30, Jesus on the cross declared, "Then it is finished." For you and I, it is finished. He has done this thing to bring salvation, to bring harmony, to bring peace back to his creation. That he came as a babe, Emmanuel, God with us. We live in a time where, especially in our country, where we lie to ourselves quite easily. And that lie is, they're good people. They do good things. They don't kill anybody. They don't really, they grew up in a good family, whatever. And Satan's out there warring on his last days, on his last moments. To help us think that we are something that we're not. And the Lord came to do his Father's will that we might repent and believe. He's given us so much proof of who he is and what he's done. What is finished? A restored relationship, a permanent relationship given to him by his blood. As Monty read earlier, they had a typecast. They had this annual ritual. The streets must have flowed with blood for trying to cover temporarily who we are and what we've done against God just for the year. And that was a poor attempt at that. The priest himself, the high priest himself, had to do this for himself before he could even do it for the people. Jesus Christ came, again, God with us, as Emmanuel, perfect, without sin, without blemish. He was the perfect spotted lamb. I want to take us to Genesis 3. And I think it's important for us to I think it's important for us to, I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Matrix, and it's probably a bad illustration, but I think he said, you know, do you take the purple pill or whatever color it was? And I think sometimes, you know, we're afraid to really delve into the truth of Christ. It's actually easier not to, to lie to yourself. And I want to caution us, each of us as believers, not to get complacent. We've gotten up early as families to celebrate. We've gotten up, and so I presume, and I know most of you as brothers and sisters, but I want to challenge us not to become complacent in our faith, in following the Father's will, and to repentance, and the grace that's been given to us for being able to share that faith, to know these truths, and to be able to humble ourselves to continually repent daily for ourselves, as we're called to do. It's not easy. So Genesis 3, just in case anybody is still wondering if they're, you know, good in any way, unto themselves, that is. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not have eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat it, of your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Yeah, sweetie. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I've commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it, and all the days of your life both thorns and thistles shall be brought forth to you. You shall eat the herb of the field and the sweat of your face, and you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin, clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put on his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove them out, the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. It's an amazing story because through one man, sin entered the world. And we're the descendants of that sin. our little sweetie here crying. I remember my babies when they're crying, when they were first little, and I'd be walking around them, and I'd say, it's okay to cry, you know, because life is tough, and we're born into sin. And we often say, how precious, how cute. Yes, how precious and how cute. And yet a sinner still needing the Lord's Savior, his blood, to cover their sins as well. It is finished. It wasn't their first two kids warred against each other. One killed the other. We had deprivation immediately. They were ashamed of themselves for some haughty knowledge that they had come by, and they tried to cover themselves. We have death in that grace was shown right away. The Lord spared them for a time. He covered them with tunics. I don't know, kids, you know, we now are on a farm, we have animals, and we see things a little bit differently. Maybe I see things a little bit differently, I don't know. It's amazing to me because Adam was put in charge of naming all the beasts of the field. He had a relationship with these beasts, this creation that God had given him a job over. And now, to be clothed, one of those beasts had to die, was killed, so that his nakedness could be clothed. So right away we find a grace and a mercy, but also a tragedy. To have your first two kids war against each other, one to kill the other. You know, we've had mothers you know, just in our own congregation with the loss of child, and how awful and difficult that is. Eve and Adam knew that this was a direct responsibility of what they had done in disobeying God. It is finished. It is finished. So when he cried out on the cross just before this, "Why have you forsaken me?" The Lord God had humbled himself and came to do that which Adam could not do and that no man could possibly do. To set things right, he did it himself. He humbled himself and came and lived among us, born of a woman. On that cross, when he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" His perfect relationship with his Father from eternity up front, he'd never not been in perfect relationship with his Father. He talks to his disciples leading up to this point, saying, "I'm not afraid. I'm not alone. I am with the Father. The Father is with me." On the cross, at that moment, that relationship had been torn. And it was torn because of us. And it was torn because of him wanting to restore relationship in a permanent way, not in a temporary way. He came to be that permanent sacrifice, the once for all, that his blood covered all the way back to Adam and is covering us today and is covering those to come, that he still, as the good shepherd, won't let one be lost. We don't know that day. We don't know that time. Only he does. And he will see it through. Children here on the stairs and in the audience, for me as a dad, you know, it's a huge responsibility. We have a responsibility to teach you to fear the Lord, to put your trust in Him that is only trustworthy. Your father, your mother, I, Wendy, you know, we let you down constantly. But our Father in heaven does not. And our love for you that you know is not that perfect love which Christ did with His Father on our behalf, but to set things right, to take on the wrath of God's righteous judgment. He took it all upon Himself. Lord, why have you forsaken me? And that cry out, He bore all that for us. It's amazing that in the scriptures that God is referred to as the Good Shepherd, and that He cares for His sheep, every single one of them. And it's also amazing to me that He's also referred to as the Lamb of God, without spot, perfect sacrifice, blood covering for all eternity. One and the same, the Good Shepherd, our protector, our Redeemer, the same. Emmanuel, God with us, He came and did what Adam could not do. He became the new Adam. It's amazing grace when this truth is first, when your eyes are first opened, when you first believe. And I'll just share with you, and some of you already know some of my story, but Satan is still tricking us to this day, and we have to be on guard. I remember saying to myself, I finally said, Lord, I believe. I believe your word. I believe. And somehow, in my haughtiness still, I thought, oh, Louis Bond somehow, you know, was smart enough to believe, or strong enough to believe, or had some special something that allowed him to accept that which God had done. Couldn't be further from the truth. There is nothing that we bring to the table. There is nothing that we can do to earn any kind of favor or merit with God. He did this for Himself. He did it for us. But He did it for His Father. He did His Father's will to set things straight. And when He cried out, it is finished, just before dying, He fulfilled all of the prophecy, all that was said, all of the typecasts, all the shadows finally had come to fruition through His own body, through His own shed blood on that cross for us. On the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, these two disciples are on the way, heading home, 7 miles away, and they are lamenting, and they're in turmoil of all that they had just seen and all that had just come about. And Jesus comes and joins with them, and they yet not see who He is. They don't know who He is. And He inquires, what are they distressed about? What's the problem? And these guys are like, oh, is He the only idiot from all over that doesn't know what has happened, what's going on? These guys believe that they had Messiah here. Israel was going to be redeemed. It was going to be set free again permanently. And yet their Messiah had just died, had just been tortured. His body was on the cross. It was just put away. Yet these guys didn't understand. These were disciples of Christ. Christ had shared one thing after another about Himself, about what's going to happen. I'm going to leave you for a moment, but I'll be back. Your joy will be made complete. They couldn't understand any of those things. They're walking along, and Jesus says, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. So he's sharing this, rebuking them, but reminding them all that had been promised, all the things of himself. They still don't know who he is, although they're now really excited about being with him, and they've asked him to stay with them, even though he thought he should leave them. And they set, and he breaks bread, gives a blessing, breaks bread, and their eyes are immediately opened. And their hearts are burning. Jesus has now left them, right? He just disappeared. And those guys now, they can't wait to get 7 miles back, approximately, to get back to Jerusalem to share the good news. They didn't say, oh, we'll get up in the morning and we'll go. They went immediately. And I just say for all of us, the Lord has to open our eyes. He has to soften our hearts. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. But any of you that might be struggling in any way, cry out to him. Because he's your only provider. He's your only means of escape. He's your only salvation. He's your only comforter. He's the only one that can bring peace. We're warring with ourselves. I'm a believer, and I'm still struggling with sin. And yet I don't rest on that, because that's not... as Paul said, I've got a race to finish, and I want to finish strong. And I want to encourage each of you as well. I know that as fathers in the workplace and the challenges that go with having to make a living and provide for your family and raise up your kids, mothers trying to keep the home, to keep the lights on and keep your kids dressed and clothed and fed and love on them. It's not easy. We're still warring, and yet we need to let that go and put our trust and our confidence in the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and be repenting on a regular basis. And I must share with you that the thing that came to me as I'd been praying to the Lord about today is Louis Bond, you just seem to be on cruise control at the moment. You just seem to be like, steady the ship. Everything's fine. Everything's good. It's like you're back into the matrix, so to speak. You're not really seeing it really as it is. And you've been brought trials and tribulations for his glory and his name's sake, but also for our correction and strengthening. And Keith, our brother and our pastor, his comment to us and his encouragement is, you wake up in the morning, you should open the scripture, you should be delving into that. That should set your course for the day. And I love that's his encouragement continually to us over and over for ever 16 or so many years I've known him. I'm going to add to that, and that is... repentance and coming before the Lord with a humble heart and a truth and an honesty, because we can become stale, we can become stagnant, and I want to caution us on that. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or something, because the Lord did ask us to rejoice. He did bring joy to the world, and we are meant to rejoice because he has done it. He has set us free. We are not captives anymore to sin. So don't live in it. Don't continue to stay in that muck and mire. Continue to seek out the Lord. Continue to seek him out and lay those burdens and those sins to his feet. Do an about change. Turn and go the other way. Follow the Lord and don't stick into your darkness. I'm very excited that we're going to be studying the London Baptist Confession of Faith, and adding into potentially the 1689 as well. And I got a lot of good inspiration, a lot of good material in reading several of those chapters, specifically as it related to grace. And I really believe that grace and repentance absolutely go together. And you're not going to find the one without the other. And so as we are repenting, know that it's the Lord's giving us that ability to do that. But absolutely turn away from it. Don't continue to lie to yourself, Louis Bond. So I'll just, you know, say that to, you can put your own name in. We have to be careful because Satan's still deceiving. He's still lying. He's still tempting us in our eyes with our own desires, our own wisdom, our own haughtiness. We're still looking to be as smart as God in some way. We want to be equals to God. We're still warring in ourselves. We still want to blame others, right? The Lord is sovereign in all things in our life, in all things. And He knows what's best for each and every one of us. As it says, you know, the birds of the field, they don't know where their food's coming from. They're protected, they're provided for. How much greater are you made in His image? Christ, He promised salvation. He is our Redeemer. He's given it to us. In Psalm 51, David, in his prayer of repentance, in 51:10, and most of you kids, most of us know the song, "Created Me a Clean Heart." But I really urge each of you to pick up Psalm 51. That might help you. But 51:10, "Created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." This is David sharing this before the Christ had come. That was his faith and what he had done that he was ashamed of as it related to Bathsheba and killing her husband. And if you'll turn with me to Romans 6, 1 through 14. I think I need my glasses again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reigneth in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments or unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And brothers and sisters, that's the truth of where we're at today. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed you're trusting in, it's His blood that covers you, you're not slaves to sin anymore. But through Jesus Christ, walk in Him, live in Him. There was another, I got so many notes here, so bear with me. Jesus said this in John 10 and 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10, 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. And we're a representative of that additional flock that 2,000 years later, there's people all over the world celebrating His life and His resurrection. He is the joy bringer, the joy giver. In John 16, 31 to 33, when Jesus was speaking with His disciples about having spoken in this figurative language, but time is coming when He would speak plainly, and He asked them, do you now believe? And indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each in his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now I know that that was said for His disciples then and there, and He was preparing them for His crucifixion and His death. But I'm going to say to each of us now as well, we do live in the world. There is tribulation. We're reminded of, so many lost in Kenya here. We have persecution going on all over the world right now for brothers and sisters. And yet their hope is absolutely secure, and it's eternal. We live in a country where we can still believe and say we believe something and yet not show any fruit whatsoever and not be engaged in any way. And the Lord has called us to more than that. There may be a time each of us are going to be questioned, and we may suffer indeed as Christ had suffered for His namesake. And kids, I say, I know that it's easy to tune out, because I was one of you and still am sometimes, that be prepared, ready yourself, because when that day comes, we are going to be tested, and we want to be able to, in Christ, be able to say, yes, I believe. And if that's to death, then it's to death. Because death's sting has been taken away. The other guy on the cross, in his final moments, promised that he would be in eternity. There's no better good news than that. Peace has been restored. Salvation is here. 2,000 years ago, back with David, created me a clean heart. He did all these things, all these miracles, all of these testimonies is to demonstrate who He is. There will be nobody that is going to not come before Him and not know the truth and not know that He's the Lord. And I pray that each of us now continue to search the Scriptures, to continue to want to be in a restored relationship with Him, to truly find the peace that He's brought and given. Even though you might be in turmoil and tribulation, you might be doing horribly in school, and that school might be in your kitchen. You might be under duress with your boss. So that's what I was kind of sharing in John 20, 30, and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. So I pray to each of you and for each of you that indeed you go before the Lord, that you call upon his name, that he would open your eyes, that he would have softened your heart, that he would give you a humbleness and a heart for repentance. And I think we have to ask for that. His own disciples who had lived with him, who had shared this journey, still needed their eyes opened, still needed their hearts to be humbled. I don't care, the strongest guy in this room, and there's probably a few of you, you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. And there's some wise guys here too. And I know that I felt like I was a wise guy for a long time. I don't care how smart you are. You're not smart enough. Beauty, it fades. Some of you, you know, might like to look in the mirror a little bit. That's fine. I'm just letting you know. The Lord is permanent. And it's forever. So don't get caught up on these haughty things, these attaboys. Don't constantly be looking to pat yourself on the back and, what a job well done. Christ's job was well done. And his job is the only one that was well done. So rejoice, because he has risen. And he's risen for you and I. And we can all say hallelujah for that. So may that be an encouragement for you on Easter morning. Keith, thank you so much for having us. Before you come fully up to the front, DB and Herschel, thank you for everything. My friend Patty has a history of wanting to share something, and so Patty would like to share something. Then if Monty and Keith could close us out, I greatly appreciate it.
Good Friday is a day of woe, except to us who already know that our Savior's sacrifice on Calvary's cross was a promise kept and not a loss. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is risen, and now so will we, to be with him for eternity. Blessed Easter. Thank you, God. Rejoice, rejoice, for he is risen. Eternal life has now been given to those who know God's true story in all its love and all its glory. Rejoice, rejoice, and a very blessed Easter.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Lou. And I really want to, many of you knew my mom, my beautiful mother, and she would be so pleased, so blessed to have you in her new home this morning. So, we have a wonderful meal awaiting us, and so let's just have a moment of prayer, and then we'll proceed to enjoy the meal. Mother God, the delightful sun coming across the water, the peace, the provisions here for your family of God. We bless you, Father, and ask that as we partake of this meal, the fellowship will be sweet, that you'll be glorified in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap up this special bonus sermon. We hope you enjoyed our Easter Sunrise Service message. You can find out more about us and listen to past sermons at scantybiblechurch.org. And if you like what you hear, tell a friend. And of course, we want to invite you to join us via podcast for our Easter service from the Scanty Bible Church pulpit, which will be delivered a little later on today by Elder Keith Barker. You'll find it just above this one on the website. So until next time, for all of us here at Scanty Bible Church, may God richly bless you.